quote, "One who worships Govinda, Lord Krishna, but does not worship his devotees, is not to be considered an advanced Vaishnava. Rather, he is to be considered a proud hypocrite." Okay, so just remind you of the translation. A brahmacharya who has completed his Vedic education and desires to enter household life should offer proper remuneration to his spiritual master. Bathe, cut his hair, put on proper clothes and so on, then taking permission from the guru, he should go back to his home. Okay, can anyone remember anything from what we just heard? Anyone? Be brave. You can read off the board if you like. Sorry, speak a bit louder for the last part.
One who worships Govinda and not his devotees, then he is called as hypocrite.
Well said. So, of course, we're in the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So, what to do? You have any? Any suggestions for avoiding hypocrisy? Please. All right. Well, we retire to my notes and let's see how we go from there. So, one of the main points from the purport is that if you can't concentrate all your desires in devotional service to Sri Krishna as a celibate student, then you have to become attracted to household life. So, there are three types of learning. If we're very fortunate and if we're not duplicitous, not hypocritical, then we can learn by hearing, simply by hearing from a pure devotee or hearing Krishna's instructions. Then, as he says from within his heart, he will give us the ability to understand. And in that first method of learning, we don't have to go out and make experiments, we don't have to go and learn from others. We can just hear and from within in our heart Krishna as a super soul or Guru as the super soul will enlighten us by his mercy. By his mercy we can carry out his instructions. So someone, a brahmacharya, can learn like that. There's no reason. No external desires that will propel the person or family into household life. So it's the most fortunate position. And of course, all of us can realize instructions to some degree. And that maintains us, because of course, household life in Krishna consciousness is also celibate life. It's celibate life with your license. So we're all fortunate enough to be able to realize instructions in that first class method to some degree or other. The second way of learning is by seeing experience of others. So we may have friends who are both single students and friends who are married. And we can learn from both of those without having to make that final step into making that big experiment and going into the material world and trying to apply the instructions ourselves. That's the third class method of learning. And again, all of us have all these qualities to some degree, and some people will demonstrate that their propensity towards either learning by hearing or learning by experiment over the period of their life. So that will take many decades to manifest. In the end, of course, when we're preparing to meet death, it's best to have the instructions down pat. So you have to kind of keep in mind that the time to learn these things is limited. If we haven't learned at the end of life, by hearing, simply by hearing, by realization, then we're going to have to depend on the experience of others to take us through to our next body. Hopefully that will be a spiritual body. Or we're just going to have to suffer through it. And that's probably the worst position to be in. Hopefully, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful ISKCON net, we will be able to learn by hearing, by chanting, hearing and chanting. I wanted to bring it down to my level of intelligence and take the example of Siddhanta Vipra from Krishna. And of course, Siddhama and Krishna were Gurukul together. Both Siddhama and Krishna became householders. So there's two parts to the story. The first part is the meeting of Lord Krishna with Siddhanta Brahman. And towards the end of that chapter, we find this paragraph. After receiving the Brahmana nicely and seating him on his own cushion bed, Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahmana, you are a most intelligent personality, and you know very well the principles of religious life. I believe that after you finished your education at the house of our teacher, and after you sufficiently remunerated him, you must have gone back to your home and accepted a suitable wife. I know very well that from the beginning you were not at all attached to the materialistic way of life, nor did you desire to be very opulent materially, and therefore you're in need of money. In this material world, persons who are not attached to material opulence are very rarely found. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life under the guidance of a proper teacher, then his life becomes successful in the future. He can very easily cross over the ocean of nascence, and he is not subjected to the influence of illusory energy. And Krishna goes on to describe the first teacher as the father, the second teacher is the Shiksha Guru, and then you have the Diksha Guru. And Krishna says both of these gurus are my representatives. A human being who takes advantage of these spiritual masters and receiving proper knowledge from them crosses the ocean of material existence and is to be understood as having properly utilized his human form of life. His practical knowledge that the ultimate interest of life, which is to be gained only in this human form, is to achieve spiritual perfection and thus be transferred home back to Godhead. My dear friend, I am Paramatma, the super soul present in everyone's heart. And it is by my direct order that human society must follow the principles of Varna and Ashrama. As I stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the human society should be divided according to quality and action into four varnas. Similarly, everyone should divide his life into four parts. One should utilize the first part of life in becoming a bona fide student, receiving adequate knowledge, and keeping oneself in the vow of brahmacharya, so that one may completely devote his life to the service of the spiritual master without indulging in sense gratification. The brahmacharya is meant to lead a life of austerities and penance. The householder is meant to live a regulated life of sense gratification. But no one should remain a householder for the third stage of life. In that stage, one has to return to the austerities and penances formerly practiced in brahmacharya life, and thus relieve himself of the attachment to household life. After being relieved from his attachments to the materialistic way of life, one may accept the order of sannyas. Okay, again, can anyone remember? Something from this Siddhartha story that relates to the text. Siddhartha and Krishna are pretty much acting out the content of this verse. Anyone have any thoughts? Now, Arjuna studied in Gurukul. He studied under Dronacharya. But when Krishna arranged for him to act in the battle, he actually forgot that the goal of life was to please his friend Krishna. So if we're not able to hear in a first-class manner and factually realize the instructions of our Guru, then we're in danger of forgetting and coming into that situation that Arjuna found himself in, that he needed more instruction from his friend Krishna. And of course, hearing about Krishna's glories and glorifying Krishna, letting him hear his own glories, that's the purpose of hearing and chanting Bhagavatam. So if we can both hear and chant and glorify Krishna and women, then that's very nice. Okay, so factually speaking, sort of Prabhupada citizens will primarily be a movement of householder devotees. And the note in the purport is that we need to rigidly follow Vedic rules and regulations in order to avoid the collapse of our spiritual determination that we've gained through brahmacharya and Trini training. And Prabhupada's process is first to give us a taste of that loving relationship that we're actually all looking for, that motivates our progress through this world. We're all seeking for a loving service relationship with Krishna, and until we actually fix ourselves at his lotus feet, then we'll be bound to continue searching elsewhere. So the first Prabhupada gives us a taste. He gives us Harinam, he gives us Prasad, he gives us association with devotees and with Krishna's devotees. Then he says surrender. And the process, as I've experienced it, is that first you have to realize, unfortunately, the pain of material life. And then you need to remember your position as Krishna's servant. And normally, Krishna will allow you to check the scriptures out. He will actually inspire you But in either case, it's not your own power that's going to do it, it's Krishna picking you up. That actually is the constitutional position. So, at last Kartik, I went to Vrindavan for the Japa retreat. Tachinandana Maharaj gave us a similar method, it's called the Betterment Tent Method, it's for chanting Japa. And so it's a tent with three sticks. First stick is, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. The second stick is that Krishna is unlimited and that I'm his eternal servant. And the third stick is that this world or this body is meant for my rectification. So it's three sticks. So you can, if you want to be fixed in the japa, you can set up these three sticks. You tend to chant. So I'll leave it there. There are things I can say, but I'll totally lose the thread. I'll see if you have any questions that I can try and address. Alright, well, the first thing that occurs to me in response to your point is that, again, we're reading from the Bhagavatam and it's an ideal situation. But we're actually, we're in Kali Yuga and we're in the West. We're in the early days of ISKCON. So we're in the pioneering days still of ISKCON. So it's probably a less than ideal situation. In a regulated Varnashram system, which we are yet to institute, by definition, by regulation, there would be a known beginning and a known end of the training. I can't imagine what that would be, but that's the rationale that I would put forward. In specific to this verse, if you're finding yourself unhappy in your single service, in service as a celibate student, in your service to the deities or to the Sankirtan movement, then practically speaking, that would mark the end of your Vedic education as a single student, out of necessity, of course. Because our goal of life is actually to retain and regain our eternal loving relationship with Guru and Gauranga in this ISKCON movement, because that's our goal of life. Then you need to take up whatever ashrama or vana will maintain you in your relationship, in your loving relationship with Krishna, in the support. And this is something I've experienced. When the mind is disturbed, it says, Hridayananda Maharaj says, when the mind is disturbed by lust, one begins to resent the principle of submission to the personality of Godhead and his pure devotee, and the dark clouds of one's offensive mentality completely cover the light of spiritual knowledge. So, although we are in a war field, really, we're in a war field situation in ISKCON, hopefully we're enough advanced so that people don't simply fall away as they did in the early days of ISKCON. You might become resentful of your service and resentful of your association with the devotees and simply fall away and simply go away. At least now, there's a nice amount of support through the management, through the senior devotees, that you can reveal your heart to them and just make that step into household life. So I guess in summary, I base it on practicality that any way you can learn to develop your essential loving service relationship with Sri Krishna, that's the path you must take. Is that all right? Any other questions?
And you explained disciple has to serve the master very nicely, very respectfully, and in mere service. And because he is devotee of Krishna.
Sorry, so because he is.
The spiritual master is devotee of Lord Krishna.
Thank you.
So he has to serve the master. And after completing his Vedic education, he should give a very good ammunition. And this reminds me of the example of Lord Krishna himself, when he was in Sanyasi Muni Ashram. You know, Adrian?
No, you have to repeat again.
Yeah.
I got to Sanyakuni Mani, Sanyakuni Mani Ashram.
And
you're giving an example, a real example now.
And Bhakti Swami has done such a great service now. He
Delivered
government and gave so much money to distribute prasadam to everyone.
Which government?
Absolutely.
Which government?
In Ujjain.
Ujjain.
Yeah, in Madhya Pradesh.
Madhya Pradesh.
And the government is so much enamored with this.
So you're saying that there's a reciprocation, Krishna is reciprocating?
Actually, he provided the temple.
There's a big temple.
He provided the temple for the temple.
So you've been to this temple, Guru?
Very good. I've been there. Last week.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
Bhakti Sri Maharaj is very devoted, very gentle, and very refined personality. Krishna is reciprocating with his devotion.
And that is, of course, the example of Prabhupada. He always said, my spiritual master is sending me devotees. All the hippies, Prabhupada said, they are all sent by my spiritual master, my disaster is not. So, who can serve better than Shri?
Who can serve better than Shri Prabhupada? Jai Prabhupada. Jai Bhakti Sri Maharaj. Any more comments, please?
Where are the devotees?
Sorry? Okay. So repeat the verse, you can think again.
You should be inspired by the devotees.
Brahmacharya has completed his Vedic education and desires to enter household life. Should offer proper remuneration to the spiritual master, pay, cut his hair, put on proper clothes, and so on. Then, taking permission from the guru, he should go back to his home. So, tomorrow we're going to learn more about the progress of the Brahmacharya through Vanashram. Thank you, Prabhu, for your time. Requests to Prabhupada.